Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the glory that has filled the house of the Lord because of your Son, Jesus. The magnificent name that we call out and praise and rejoice. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, beloved Lamb. Thank you, our dearest, closest friend. Sticking closer than a brother. Lord, thank you for him and the revelation by the power of his might that he wants to be our bridegroom. Lord, thank you for the words of eternal life. Lord, thank you for that exceeding riches of your glory, Lord God, that you have poured forth through the word of his grace. And Lord, you have sent it to the thing that you will perform it in. And that's us. And thank you, Lord God, that you've caused us and created us to be your inheritance and your glory. Glory for him. Glory for Jesus. Our glory, Lord God. Glory for glory. Oh, the grace so beyond and so true. Now, Lord, take the word of your grace, God, and just increase it in our hearts today. Lord, open up our lives, God, to receive this. Lord, this word is true. This word is all-powerful. This word is unchanging. And the word is our life. Help us to live it abundantly today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to be picking it up in a very familiar section of Scripture here. It's the story of David, and particularly his failure with Bathsheba and the lusting there and the things that were brought forth out of that. And this is after David is told by Nathan the prophet that he's the man, after he's been trying to hide it in a sense and not deal with what God wanted him to have dealt with. But God and his faithfulness, it was nothing about David. It was all about the faithfulness of God. It's like the Lord's faithfulness for your life. As God told David, you're my man. As God told you, you're his man. You're his woman. Praise the Lord. You're mine. And I'm coming after you. Listen. Hallelujah. Pick it up in verse 12. Actually, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. See, it's that testimony that's so important. But because this deed hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and they went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept,
For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. I have to tell you, before I begin this, the Lord had placed this upon my heart a couple weeks back. I think how powerful the Word of God is always, no matter. You know what I'm saying? But it's always so appropriate and timely. I was thinking of all the things that have transpired over the last couple weeks. The deaths that have occurred, the trials that are going on right now and things of that nature. God's Word is so timely. And this is so marvelous. And I stand up here before you today. What happens if I came in here today and I told you, you know what? I've committed adultery. I fornicated. Not only that, I murdered. It'd be a shock, wouldn't it? How would it go with us? Would we be like those servants and whisper? Would you be like the servants and wonder, whoa, what horrible thing did he do? Would you call me a fake? Would you come to the quick conclusion that there was no way I could go on with God's anointing on my life? Would you decide to throw me out? Well, it wouldn't be an easy thing, would it? It wouldn't be an easy thing. Matter of fact, it'd be a very hurtful thing. It'd be a very hard thing. It would be a thing that would be beyond all of our minds. It would be beyond all of any compassion that I could have or you could have. And we could only be at rest. You could only be at rest in this with eyes like the cherubim that would be fixed upon the mercy seat. Amen? Because if they're not going to be on the mercy seat, they're going to begin to look at man. And once you begin to look at man, you're going to see things. Yeah, they might be truth that you see. But when you look at man, as opposed to the mercy of the Lord, you won't see the things that are true. But I want to make sure we really understand this story even a little bit better. The reality of this story. This wasn't just adultery and murder. No, it wasn't. This was adultery and murder against a vessel of the Lord that was most precious. This Uriah was a very precious brother in the Lord. Matter of fact, Uriah was one of David's mighty men. Yes, one of God's mighty men. He was a brother of the Lord that was valiant. Valiant above pretty much everyone. Willing. Even when David tried to send him out after he knew that he had impregnated his wife. Well, you just go back to your wife. And David thought he could take care of it that way. That next morning he found Uriah at his doorstep. And Uriah said to him, how could I go be with my wife when my brothers are out there in battle? I need to be with them. This was the kind of man we're talking about. This wasn't just any adultery and murder. To put it in perspective, it would be as me seizing the wife of one of the most precious brothers you would ever know and taking her and impregnating her and then going out and taking his life. Yeah. I told you, it's coming today. Amen. Get ready. So, Nathan the prophet as we read, he comes in and he says to David, because of what you did, that child's going to die. The enemies of the Lord are going to make a mockery of you. But more importantly, they're going to make a mockery of the grace of God that is with you. This has hurt God. And then it went on to say, and you notice that after Nathan tells him that, it says Nathan departs from him. So David finds himself very alone. But we notice in verse 17, who are the very first ones that come to David? The elders of his house. The elders of his house. Now, these are very special elders because, you know, throughout the Word of God, you're going to read about the elders of Israel. But you know, the elders of Israel, they defied God a lot of times. Just because you got a title doesn't mean anything. But when you have a heart that you're the elders of the house, that means something. There's something about being a mature family member. They came in to restore. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I want to be one of these. That's the heart I always want to have. Those that look upon that mercy seat will always have that heart to restore. That's one that'll be spiritual. They won't come in there to hammer. They're going to come in there as, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Brother, let's encourage ourselves in the Scripture. The very first instinct, praise God, of those elders of his house was to restore him. Now, those whispering servants, they didn't help at all. But the elders were literally the ones that lived with resurrection power. And I'm talking about the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you realize what the word of his grace that comes through you to ones that have been beaten down so badly or have failed so horribly, the power of those words? Do you recognize the beyond a Red Sea that can take a woman or a man that have been caught in the very act of adultery, and instead of destroying them, causing them to have a renewness of life that they walk therein, that they've never, ever experienced that power ever before? Brothers and sisters, ye that are spiritual, restore. And I want you to understand this. That restoration that truly is of the spiritual is the resurrection power. The power to raise up a brother. I thank God. Aren't we thankful? Isn't it wonderful at times? And I mean this very sincerely. To see our brethren of like precious faith being shook a little bit. Amen? We know one another because Christ reveals the heart. He gives us discernment. And my brother that have prayed for me many a time, calling me up. And I could tell that there's a moment of a fear. Oh, praise be to God, Lord, you've given me an opportunity. This brother that's encouraged my life, or this sister that has written me cards beyond, I've got a moment, hallelujah, to be used of the Lord to come in to lift up these weary hands, the feeble knees to get on them with and to pray and to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Yeah. Now, this meeting, praise God, goes on because of the full counsel of God. Because of the grace in those saints that love the full counsel of God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's wonderful. The grace of God that is with the elders of the house of the Lord. The grace of God that is alive in the saints that live the power of the resurrection glory. Those are the saints, praise God, that stay with God's anointing. And what does God anoint? His word. Always. Without exception. See, man's always looking for a man to be anointed, but the word is the anointed. The word is what is the anointing. And the word anoints. And where the whole counsel of God is, and it's preached in truth and love, that anointing is going to pour forth. It doesn't matter. Because this is God's word. That's what it is. And only can be. This is the power of that wondrous word. And those wondrous, praise God, grace-filled saints were blessed right along with David. As the Lord so faithfully restored him to even more greatness and more of the beauty of the glory of the Lord. But the story didn't end there. It even got better. Because this was especially the case in Bathsheba. If there was a single person that was done the worst, it was this woman. Her husband was taken from her. She was taken from her husband. Her husband was killed. She lost a baby that she had carried to term. And yet she stayed with the anointed of God. Do you ever think about that? Have you ever read other stories in the Word of God that some people didn't hang around? This precious sister, with all of that heartache and all of that wound, done so wrong, not only did she not leave, she became his wife. Yeah. Huh? Not only did she become his wife, she was the choice one. She was the one that was the queen that would give birth to Solomon the king. Now, wait a second. How can that be? How could God do something like that? Those ones that whispered throughout the kingdom, you know, that didn't set right with them, did it? There's no way that that should go on in any way, shape, or form. I'm right there with the Lord when he said that this is going to give occasion for your enemies to make a mockery of the word of his grace. But notice what it said there. Those were the enemies of the Lord that were making a mockery of it. Did you get that? The enemies of the Lord were the ones that would make a mockery of that. There was no mockery to God. It's exactly why he got up on the cross for us, brothers and sisters. Did you need a savior or not? I believe the word of God says that he magnifies one thing, and that is his grace. Amen? So I believe if I look up the definition of grace, even though it could never be defined in the grace that we have received, but it's stuff that's not merited, it's not earned, it's not even deserved. It's a mercy grace that kept us from what we deserved, that you can't even imagine how horrible that would have been. But he took that for you, became that for you, and entered into that death and that separation from God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. I never have to be separated from God. Isn't that marvelous? I will never be separated from God. Hallelujah. Ever because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Oh, yeah, he did. But here we go. This was not going to set right with those that were against the grace of God. It revealed it. It made it evident. It was very clear, was it not? Read the word of God. The enemies of the Lord were going to make a mockery of it. But ye that are spiritual will go in and restore. The elders of the house, they got right in there. The servants that didn't really understand, they were just whispering and wondering, what did you do? I love the word of God. I'll tell you what, it comes right in. It just, this is what it is, honey. This isn't what your mind is thinking. This isn't, and I'll tell you what, this is none of us. This only has to be the word of God that works in us. It isn't to pat myself on the back, whether I was on this side or that. It has nothing to do with that. It's to praise the Lord. It's to thank Him. Praise be to God and to glory. Hallelujah. That your grace has kept me in it, or that your grace has woken my heart up. I'm awake now, God. And thank you, Lord. That's where I see this Bathsheba. She was the most wounded. She was the most hurt. But she was the one that, by the grace of God, she became the most humble, because she had to go on. And I'm sure that there were many of her, maybe family and different ones, that wanted to be an enemy of the Lord in this and said, how could you be around that man? How could you do that? He hurt you. He abused you. He killed your husband. What's it about? Praise be to God. She embraced it. I know she did, because she married it. She married it. She married the thing that the enemies of the Lord despised. Is this not marvelous? Is this not wonderful? Hallelujah. My heart is awake to this. Oh, and I thank God. I thank God for the elders that came in right away. I thank God for the Bathsheba that he had to go to and say, oh, honey, I'm going to comfort you. And she didn't run away. Hallelujah. She said, this is my husband. This is where the anointing is. And the whole counsel of the grace, the word of his grace. Now, I want that heart. I want to have the elder's heart. I want to have Bathsheba's heart. I want to have all that heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to go on no matter the cost. That's what this is. I want to go on by the grace of God no matter what the humiliation will be. And it's going to be a humiliating thing. That's the only way it's going to be. You're not going to be esteemed in this life. If this is what you're looking for, is to be esteemed here, I'm going to tell you something. Paul's gospel is not for you. Because what's highly esteemed to God is not highly esteemed to men. It's not. Now God can, he can raise you up in different ways. He can have you run it at all like he did to Joseph. But he made a decision. And his heart was always with, and it did not vary and it did not move. But God had a plan. But how sweet this is, brothers and sisters, that I'll tell you what, it's very clear those that were the bright and shining glories throughout the word of God, they had one thing in common. They remained with the anointing. And where the anointing was always where the whole counsel of God was, no matter the cost. When I get my eyes off of mercy, I start to become an enemy. You could say, and think of this, brothers and sisters, because you'd say, hey, look, how could a son become an enemy? I've seen many sons in a family become enemies of the household. When the enemy comes in and starts to mess with your head, if you'll go that way, you'll be an enemy. Doesn't mean you're not loved. We had horrible things even in this country. You think about a civil war that we had so long ago. We had families that were killing one another. They were enemies. Better wake up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what. There's always going to be times a great challenge, because that's the way God set it up. Things you never imagined could ever happen, they're going to happen. They are going to happen. Because God said, those that will be the elders of the house, don't think it's strange, guys. That means it's coming. Things that you never, not only expected, you never imagined would come in. I've been there, and you have too. If you're going on in this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lord, this is not what we prepared in our household with the word of your grace for. This was not what we were building. But God was building it all the time. And I'm going to show you what, honey. The faithfulness is mine. I just want you full of faith. See, I was thinking about that the other day. Do I want to be faithful? Or do I want to be full of faith? Do you understand that? I believe the word of God tells me he's the one that is faithful and true. Amen? Well, I want to be full of faith in the one that is faithful and true. There's a whole different deal there. I met a lot of Christians that walk around and say, oh, I'm faithful. Ha. Nope, I'm full of faith in the one who is faithful and true. I know who's carried me all my life. And I know who's going to carry me all the way home. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I see my bridegroom carrying his bride. And I believe by the grace of God it's going to be me. He's going to carry me right across that threshold. You better see it. Amen. Come on. It's time to get excited. You better be a romantic. He is. He's not going to marry some stone cold thing. He's hot for you, and you better be hot for him. Yeah, if it's time to embarrass you, let's just do it, Lord. Now, we'll wrap this up. God's way is stirring it up. Yes, he's doing that this morning. And I know he's doing that this morning with some kids. He often uses our children, doesn't he? Oh, yes, he does. He's faithful. He used that precious Stephen. He took him out there, and he was the man full of the Holy Ghost. And matter of fact, the Word of God says he was full of faith. Isn't that something? His word's always on time. Full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, so much potential. He was even the one that they said, oh, this is the one that's the real deal. He's full of the love of God. He's love. See, that's what I want people to see in us, brothers and sisters. I don't want to see, oh, well, man, they really are knowledgeable. No, I want them, those people love me. Walk in there, that fella loves me. He cares about the truth in my life. I do care about the truth in your life, truth in love in your life, that you're in love with truth in your life. Amen. But that Stephen, see, God had a greater plan. I'm going to use him to shake it up. I'm going to use him to break up the fallow ground. I'm going to use this sweet brother to break a dam down that the water needs to flow in. Give these folks some encouragement. Hallelujah. To let them know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh my goodness, if the Lord did it for him, the Lord can do it for me. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God has a way of cutting it all away. Because he's proving who his true worshipers are. Those true ones. The lovers of the truth. The lovers of the brethren. Did you hear that? The lovers of the truth are lovers of the brethren. They're spiritual. They're spiritual. They hug. They love. Don't say, well, that ain't me. It ain't you. But it's Christ in you. He's changed me. I'm so thankful how God's changed me. I've had a tender heart. I thank the Lord. He made me tender a long time ago. But I didn't feel comfortable around folks a lot of times. I didn't. A lot of things God gave me in my life. A heavy body, all that. Well, I better go in the corner. Kids teasing, all of those things. But God used it for my good. The shy guy that never wanted to get up in front of people and all that type of thing. I'll tell you what. Horses, nothing could hold me back today. I was ready to say, you know what, Ty, we got to start early. You're going to have to sit down. But he's preaching the word of God. It's wonderful. And it's filling me up. But how could we not love one another? And I love you. Oh, I love you. And I do. It's because of Christ in you. And I love that you're here today, son. I hope you know that the Lord loves you. He cares for you. And he's letting you hear the word of his grace today. You need to eat on strong meat. You need to feast upon the depth of the word of God. The famine is here. Those ones that are just filling up their bellies, it's here, and I'm not here to talk about them, but the word of God does, and I must address it. But I want to be here to care for your souls. This whole counsel of God to get you ready, if you will, if you're a willing group, if you're a willing bunch, to marry Jesus. He's going to come. He that said, I shall come, I will not tarry. And he's about here. Oh, it's so near right now. And brothers and sisters, God is going to make sure that our going on is not going to be about a man. It's not going to be about because somebody's goodness or their strength. It's going to entail humbling us, brothers and sisters. It's going to be a breaking of our pride. It is humiliation. There's going to be breaking of our hearts. Every one of us are going to come out from the camp. We're going to have to go. Just like sweet Rebecca, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to leave the many behind that we love. The only way this is ever going to happen is the grace way. It's the one thing, the anointing of the word, the beauty of the truth, to see of its depths of love for you. And all I could think about getting up this morning, let's just go on. Amen? Let's just go on. It's so wonderful. And we're going on. And we go on every Sunday and Sunday night. We go on Wednesday and Friday. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, every day. But I thank God I get to come into the tent. I get to go out there. Yeah, I got to go journey and maybe get some food and you too. And we bring it all in. And you know what I'm saying? We're in the wilderness, but we go on. We're pressing on all the way through the land. Hallelujah. I love Joshua. He said, oh, let's walk. We've got more walking through here. All these folks say, oh, well, I've walked through. I already know it all. You don't know it all. You haven't seen it all. There's more to see every day. There's more to see of the layers of the Lord and the layers of his grace and the word of his grace. It's marvelous. But we just go on. Amen? And we go on loving one another, and that our love would increase more and more and more and more and more and more for one another. The elders were the first ones, the elders of the house. They got in there. But then, oh, the brokenhearted. You willing to go there? Like a Bathsheba and say, you know what? In spite of all of you, I'm going to press harder against the thorn. The enemies of the truth wanted to mock. But the lovers, they'll always restore. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, thank you. Glory. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm so thankful how you draw us in. Lord, you brought us in today just to see more of the beauty of the heart of our Savior. And Lord, the love that you have given us to live and abound in. And Lord, it's so clear. It's clear to the light. And Lord, I can only pray for myself and for my brethren. And I do, Lord, I pray for your people everywhere. My brethren that I love that I have not seen maybe for a long time, Lord God. Oftentimes that fallow ground is things that hold me back, and oftentimes it's pride. Lord God, help us to be ones that glory in being humiliated. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I want a heart like David, Lord God, that gets out there and just, God, and in his nakedness, he just dances before you. They think him a fool. They think him stupid. They think him a disgrace. Oh, they thought of him a lot of things. But Lord, all he thought about was what you saw in him. And Lord, I do know that your word is true. And you say to us that we call out to you, I am my beloved's. Oh, and it's your desire that is toward me. It keeps us all the way along. We thank you for it. Increase it in our hearts today. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.